This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you, and we talk about broadcasters a lot here in St. Louis and especially at KMOX. I mean, a history of some of the greatest broadcasters ever, Jack Buck, Harry Carey, Bob Costas, and when the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup, they were here on KMOX.
That's right.
And Chris Kerber, the Blues radio broadcaster, the voice of the Blues on the radio, made that call of the Blues' first Stanley Cup victory right here on KMOX. And joining us now is a man who has chronicled some of the best calls and the best voices in the game of hockey. And that's Kirk McKnight with his book, The Voices of Hockey, Broadcasters Reflect on the Fastest Game on Earth. And Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I want to make a quick note. So The Voices of Hockey, the printed book, came out a few years ago, like 2016. And this is a new updated version with a lot more content. It's an audio version of The Voices of Hockey. And this one, most importantly for fans here in St. Louis, includes the Blues 2019 Stanley Cup victory.
That's right. When it comes to writing something like that's nonfiction and you can always add to it as time goes on, you realize that maybe the first time around you didn't capture the essence of it. And that was what happened with the Voices of Hockey. And especially with four new teams having won the Stanley Cup that hadn't won it before, like the Blues, the Capitals, Golden Knights, Florida Panthers, you want to go back around. And then not only that, but this book contains 65 broadcasters' perspectives, whereas the original edition only had 34.
So is this the sort of thing that you would like to continually update, maybe revisit every 5-10 years or so?
Maybe every 10 years. I think I'd rather go on to other sports. The first book I ever had published is called The Voices of Baseball, yep. Which for the town of St. Louis, it's a great book to have because I know what a great baseball town it is. So I went and updated that one in 2023, which had plenty of new stuff all around the world, all around the sport as well. So I mean, every few years, maybe, but I would say every 10 years because it becomes a pretty arduous process to do it once or twice, let alone every few years.
What can fans expect from the audio version? What will they be hearing?
I think one of the main reasons I wanted to do books like this is because the broadcasters have such more insight to the game. And I think that a lot of fans might not know a lot of the behind the scenes. In 2019, a lot of fans might not be aware of how close St. Louis was to kind of selling off assets, you know, and trying to get to a different place because they hadn't been getting there. They just barely missed the playoffs by a point in 2018, and they were off to a pretty bad start for that 2018-19 season, to the point where management's like, are we going to have to just kind of do a rebuild? Are we going to have to get rid of Tarasenko? You see the instant change by getting a coach like Berube in there, and then they just fire off this huge, huge second half of the season. That's one of the best runs in any season for any team. And you see just how close that was to not happening, because certain decisions sometimes are made by management and they go a different direction.
I think what's interesting about it, well, there are a number of things interesting about it, but broadcasters generally, if they're working for a team, they like to keep it positive. You know, that, I mean, part of their job is to sell the team, but privately you have to think that even in a season like that, for example, that there was a lot of doubt, you know, a lot of doubt that was in their minds, but they're trying to keep it positive as the season is going on. Do you find that that's typically true of some of these special teams that maybe weren't as good at first as the season started, but got better as the year went on?
Yeah, it seems like the broadcasters can see the potential there. And so they're just trying to hold on to that thread of hope that things will turn around, and they're still trying to sell it. And they know what needs to probably, which tweak needs to happen here or there. And so, of course, they're not, you know, some of the biggest broadcasters in sports. Marv Albert was fired by the Knicks for just his critical talking about against the team kind of thing. And I mean, if Marv Albert's not safe, like who is, if you start talking smack about the team? Because then you start to think about the sponsors who might pull their endorsements and all that kind of stuff. So it's great that they keep that positive perspective. And I think they have to really kind of do that, mainly because the fans have to have something to turn to. You know, the fans are ready to just turn on the team at any moment. But if they still have that little glimmer of hope and that positive mindset, they might not do it so quickly.
Well, and you spoke to so many of the great broadcasters. You mentioned Bob Costas. You've talked about Marv Albert, Dave Maloney, Sam Rosen, John Kelly, Chris Kerber here. Also, Doc Emmerich, who's one of my favorites.
Love,
man,
that guy.
I miss Doc Emmerich so much. Talking to him, how was that conversation?
Well, Marty Brenneman, I'm dropping names here on other sports too because of the voices of baseball, but Marty Brenneman, when I talked to him just in a casual conversation, not even for the book, he said Doc Emmerich is the Vince Scully of hockey. Mm. And he's so correct on that, because when you listen on that national broadcast, you can just see where he just hits those moments, and you see where maybe other broadcasters haven't quite gotten to that point yet. And talking to Doc about the New Jersey Devils winning the championship, because you're talking to somebody who, though on the national spotlight, was a broadcaster for that team for quite some time. And so he was able to call a team that he would call during the year on the national level, winning a Stanley Cup championship. And that really wasn't happening as much back in those days, because the games always got turned over to the national broadcasts and the ESPNs and TNTs or whatever. And so being able to do that, it's kind of like when Scully would call the Dodgers World Series championship in 88, because Scully was already on the air for those radio broadcasts and TV broadcasts. So it just makes it a little extra special. So talking with Doc Emmerich, you know you're talking with somebody who's basically revered as the best in hockey, in my opinion, especially over these last 25
years. He's one of the best of all sports.
Yeah, master, just a command of the English language. And they would talk about the dozens and dozens and dozens of verbs that he would use in a game to describe the puck moving forward or being passed or shot. I think it was, you know, 97 different verbs for moving the puck forward, and he didn't repeat any of those. I will just make a note of this. This is how you know Doc Emmerich's good. When he retired, NPR National did a story on him. They had to basically explain what the NHL was. Mm-hmm. It's not their audience. And they did a story on Doc Emmerich and his use of the language. And they brought in language experts and grammarians just marveling at his command of the English language. That's when you know you're good.
That is. And what's interesting also over there in the Midwest, I mean, that, he's kind of a Midwest kind of guy. And who was his, you know, mentor kind of way, the person he looked up to was Bob Chase all those years in Fort Wayne. And a lot of people in the country might be like, who's Bob Chase? Well, he's the guy who helped. He's the guy who inspired Doc Emmerich to be the man he is, you know.
You mentioned your Broadcasters of Baseball book, and if I'm not mistaken, you talked to Joe Buck and Tim McCarver, and that book came out about a decade ago. What is the commonality that you find with all of these broadcasters? And I don't mean within the NHL, but from sport to sport. Is there a common thread or a common, sort of ability that all of these people have?
Well, you mentioned KMOX to start this interview, obviously, because this is what we're on. And the beauty about KMOX is its reach. I have, over these two books, I have not heard more more tribute and homage being paid to a broadcast signal than to KMOX. And you guys broadcast in both directions as far as it goes. And so these broadcasters know that they have a captive audience. They have an audience who can't see the game and have to be guided through it. And these broadcasters not only know that, but they also know their responsibility of sometimes letting the crowd tell the game. Even though you're not actually witnessing it and seeing it in person, if that crowd is just the deafening noise is just spilling into the booth so much that you just can't even do anything about it, the best broadcasters just let that go. And Joe's one of them. Joe Buck's one of them. Scully's one of them. In fact, Scully, when he called Hank Aaron's 715th home run, the crowd was what took over that call for about however long. And then Scully was able to come back in at the right moment. And I think that's what broadcasters do, is they know when to let the crowd tell the story and then when to add their contribution.
Kirk, what about, as you talk to these broadcasters, the difference between a radio broadcaster who also has to be the eyes for the fans versus a television broadcaster, maybe guys who have crossed over? Any differences or just interesting observations from those two separate types of broadcasts?
Not to take anything away from a TV broadcaster, but talking to the radio broadcasters who have crossed over to being a TV broadcaster, you can tell that it is definitely a lighter load. Dick Enberg is one of those who mentioned, how it goes. And Marv Albert and the list goes on and on. When Dave Gosher called the Bruins winning the championship in 2011, we're talking about a guy who called a radio broadcast for a team he grew up around and watching, and then able to see, be the guy, the first guy to call the Bruins championship in 39 years. And then you see that he gets presented with this opportunity in Las Vegas, a brand new expansion team, and he was ready for a challenge. He referred to it as a challenge. Now, whether or not it was as challenging broadcasting, it was a challenge to him to introduce the sport to the fan base out in the middle of the desert, the first major professional team that the city has had. I'm actually from Las Vegas, and I was there when the Golden Knights came. So, you're talking about a city that had kind of dabbled in sports, but not really. And so he kind of took on that mantle too. And he and Shane Knighty have been the voices for us, but also the faces, as you'd go to a broadcast and you'd see them in between periods or whenever there was a minute away from the action. So I think that it may be a little bit easier for these guys from radio to TV, but I think they still see the challenge in it because they have to put on their pants. They're on TV. They have to do things like that. And they'll always find some kind of challenge out of what they do.
Yeah, so you mentioned that you're from Vegas and the Golden Knights always get a good crowd, and obviously that happens when you're winning championships or, you know, your team is really good. And that the argument about that city forever was, it's just not going to be able to support teams because you've got too many people from somewhere else. It's transients, you know, people come in to visit and they leave. So this is not a good market for sports. Well, now they've got three teams. So professional, you know, big league teams. So it must be a good sports market, right?
It definitely is. I think it gets a bad rep across the country because I think there's so many fans who are starving for a championship. And they look at the Golden Knights fans and just see how spoiled they were and are. I mean, what other team, you know, comes that close to winning the Stanley Cup in this first year of existence? You know, it's not like when the WHA came into the league and you got the Edmonton Oilers with Gretzky and Messier, and they're having a dynasty within 5 years, 6 years of a dynasty starting within 6 years of entering the league. So I think that they were spoiled in that sense, in a good way. The city had gone through something pretty tragic to end the preseason with the October 1 shooting at Mandalay Bay. And so the city kind of galvanized itself around this team. And that took a lot of momentum and everything like that. And so that really showed what a sports market that Vegas could have is that city and that team combining and kind of coming together. The community really, the best word to say is just galvanizing themselves together. And luckily for them, they've had good management to keep them pretty much in the playoffs almost every single year that they've been there. And they were able to win the cup in six and make the right moves. And a lot of times general management doesn't make these moves. Teams just get stuck in these periods and never really get over a hump. But the Golden Knights, I don't know if you want to ever call the Golden Knights getting over a hump because they haven't gone through the things that other teams have gone through, but they still were able to get it done. And they still, you know, playoff prevalent every year.
Kirk McKnight, author of The Voices of Hockey, broadcasters reflect on the fastest game on earth. A new audio version updated, available now. Kirk, as we let you go, where can people buy the audiobook?
I think the easiest way to find it, especially all you guys who have Apple devices, is Apple Books. It's pretty much on your devices right there, and you download it for $9.99, and there you have it. You got 12 hours of entertainment.
Awesome. Kirk, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us. All the best.
Thank you.
That is Kirk McKnight, author of The Voices of Hockey.
I mean, it's got to be on Amazon, too.
He's checking right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's not just talk about all these Apple people. Why are we? It's always about Apple, Apple this,
hurt.
Apple that. Come on, it's got to be on Amazon.
Did you find it yet?
I'm searching it right now.
All right.
Yeah, you can find it right here.
Okay, so the Android users.
Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, no, I lied. Kindle version's available.
Okay. So anyway, Kindle.
Yeah.
He's Chris Ranji.
And the paperback.
And big Android guy. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
So we did have a couple of text messages, Amy, going back to our conversation about the bobblehead.
Yes.
And the
bobbleheads in general or the Ozzie Smith backflip.
The Pope.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
The Pope
thank
bobblehead?
You. Yes.
Because we asked the question, would you be offended if the White Sox did
a Pope bobblehead?
Yeah, Pope Leo.
Yeah.
And every Catholic who texted in said, not offended. One, in fact, said, I'm laughing about Pope bobblehead, but I received one about 5 years ago from my son and daughter-in-law, Pope Francis. It was a souvenir from the Children's Catholic School in Orange County, California. So
that's
it was
awesome.
For a fundraiser. So
White
if they're doing
White
it,
Sox
then it's
need
okay.
to do this. I was trying to think of like Obama, if they did a Barack Obama bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
I kept saying like Obobblehead or Obama.
Oh, bobblehead would be really
that's
great.
Kind of awesome, right?
Could I get the Obobblehead?
Like, if you're the White Sox, things aren't going well. They're not going well.
No.
You got to lean into what the people love.
Bobbleheads.
Yes.
That's how you get people to the
I didn't think a Pope bobblehead would be disrespectful. Because I think I've seen, you know, tchotchkes like that before.
Sure. Yeah. I
bet they sell them at the Vatican. Maybe.
You think?
I think so.
Now, I'm going to ask a really dumb question. Is there a gift shop there?
314-436-7900. I think that's a fantastic question, Ranj. I don't think it's dumb at all.
I don't think
it can't Google
be
it. Don't Google it. I want the people to tell
all right,
us.
Yeah, I'm not going to Google it. You let us know.
314-436-7900.
Just text us.
Yeah.
Let us know. And let us know if you've been there.
Is there a gift shop at the Vatican? And if so, is there a Pope bobblehead?
Hey, let's talk about the Redbirds. They split the series with the Padres, but more importantly, they have made a deal already. They've made one trade. The deadline is coming up Thursday at 5 p.m., and we will talk about what might be coming next for the Cardinals ahead of the baseball trade deadline. Matt Pauly next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Marinaccio's pitch, and this is popped up. Coming on, Bryce Johnson. He's under it. He has it, and this ballgame has come to an end. And the Padres earn a split in the series. Cardinals won the first two Thursday, Friday. San Diego came back yesterday and beat the Redbirds today 9-2.
Well, it's always a bummer losing the final game of a series, especially when you had to suffer through 115-degree heat indices to do so. But joining us now to talk St. Louis Cardinals as we near the trade deadline is Matt Pauly, host of KMOX's Sports Open Line, the Redbird Rush Hour, and Cardinals pre- and post-games. Matt, the Cardinals lost 9-2 yesterday. A bit of a bummer and a hot one.
Yeah, that was an opportunity to take a series from San Diego, and instead, after winning the first two games of the series, and then they end up losing. You know, they that Saturday game, they had some chances. They lost by 2 runs, 3-1. And then yesterday, Michael McGreevy just didn't have it, and they get down early, and they're not able to come back. So, you know, just splitting a four-game series, that's a pretty normal thing. Most four-game series in Major League Baseball feels like they're splits. But this one hurts when you take the first two, and then you're in a position where if you can just win one of the final two, you take 3 out of 4. Instead, you lose 2, and the final game is somewhat non-competitive.
That was also, would you say that was the first official clunker for McGreevy?
No, he had one other one. I was it against the Cubs? You're putting me on the spot. I need to think through it real quick or look it up. No, that's fine. I'm okay being put on the spot. But he had one other one that was not great. Yeah, against the Cubs, he gave up 5 runs in 4 2/3 innings. Now, it was a little different. If I remember correctly on that one, he pitched better than the final line would indicate. But he gave up 4 runs in 6 innings against the Dodgers, pitched probably better than the line would indicate. So maybe it's, I guess, where we define clunker. Mm-hmm. But it was one of the first.
That is a, and I don't think that, Matt, you overreact to a bad start by him. They've already made the trade, and we'll talk about the trade deadline here in a moment. But you kind of just have to, don't you think, ride it out with him for the remainder of the season? And, you know, we're talking about 2 months here, and you could find out a lot about him and help you for next year, right?
Yeah, 100%. And he is an upgrade over Eric Fetty, who he's replacing in the rotation. He is a young guy who's had a fair amount of success in his very limited major league opportunities. He's a guy who's always been one of the top pitching prospects in the organization as he's come up, and now it's the chance for him to go out and show it. And part of this process is when you're making spot starts, when you hop up every once in a while to the big leagues and then you return, that's one thing. But when you're starting every fifth day, that's when a book gets out on you, and that's when the league starts adjusting to you, and then you adjust to the league. And that's something that Oliver Marmol has talked a lot about, on the value of having McGreevy here for the rest of the season. It's not just about him pitching every fifth day, but it's about him going through the game planning. It's about looking back at his last start and then going through those 4 days between starts on what you can do better the next time out, and just developing in that kind of way. So I don't know what sometimes people lifted this guy up like he was going to be the best pitcher on in the rotation. That's not if he turns into that, hey, that's great, but that's not really what he projects out as. He projects out as kind of a three or a four, a solid guy. He's going to pitch to contact. He's not going to get a lot of strikeouts. We've talked about that a lot. That always opens up the door for something to go not so great if you're a little bit unlucky one day. So it's just going to be fun to watch him continue to develop.
Okay, Matt, this is jumping ahead. So I apologize. I shouldn't be looking this far ahead. Maybe it's semi-relevant because of the trade deadline coming up, but we've talked about McGreevy. Miles Michaelis' contract is up at the end of this season. Fetty, obviously, gone. And the Cardinals, you know, we've talked about the pitching and development. McGreevy's really the big guy in the hopper. So my question is, who's pitching for the Cardinals next year?
Yeah, good question. One of the names that was out there just got taken off the board this morning because Tekoa Roby is someone who I thought he was going to eventually get to the big leagues as a relief pitcher, but he had been starting and doing a really good job in the minor leagues. Katie Wu of The Athletic reports today that he has had Tommy John surgery, so he is going to be out for all of 2026, and we'll see Roby again in 2027 and see what that looks like. Quinn Matthews is still somebody who is very much one of the top pitching prospects in the organization and an arm that they're going to be looking at, but he has not been as dominant here this season in the minors as he was last year. So you have Sonny Gray, you have Matthew Liberatore, I think for sure, you have McGreevy for sure. You probably have Andre Pallante, but I don't think anything's guaranteed for him going into next season. That's four guys right there, maybe three and a half because you don't you're not guaranteed of Pallante. You're going to have some other people come in from outside the organization to fill out this rotation next year, or at the very least to provide some competition during spring training.
As Amy mentioned, the Cardinals traded Eric Fetty yesterday. They get either a player to be named later or cash considerations. So, and that he's going to the Braves now. Are you, first of all, surprised that they were able to make a deal? And since they did, is the return about right?
Yeah, I'm not surprised because basically all that had to happen to make a deal work out is a team would have to cover a dollar more than major league minimum salary for it to be worth it for the Cardinals. Now, ESPN says that as part of the deal, the Cardinals are going to cover the majority of Fetty's salary for the rest of the season. So it sounds like the return from the Braves might be connected to kind of what happens here with Fetty moving forward. I'm not surprised. The Braves have had a ton of injuries in their starting rotation. They've lost four guys in their rotation, so they needed somebody. Fetty's got some things in his profile that if you can fix him, you can turn him back into a pretty good pitcher the way he was with the White Sox last year. The Braves are essentially getting him for nothing, and it sounds like if they get a little something for him, then maybe they have to give a little more back. But it did not surprise me. I always thought that you could work out a deal like this because it really doesn't take much money at all to go get him.
What do you see as Ryan Helsley's future as we face the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think he probably gets traded at this point. And is there always the possibility that they keep him and they give him the qualifying offer? I guess. Bob Nightingale of USA Today has been out there on record saying the Cardinals do not intend to give Helsley the qualifying offer at the end of the season. So if that's the case, that probably adds that much more possibility to him being traded.
Yeah, the Mets have some interest in him. I'm sure other teams, the Athletic reporting today that the Mets were one of the teams that were looking into him. But he's really not the only candidate the Cardinals could end up dealing here. Is it most likely, in your opinion, that anybody who does get traded from here on out is probably coming from the bullpen?
I think those are the most sure things. You know, we're talking about Helsley, Maton, and Matz. And I wouldn't be surprised for a team to maybe be interested in Jojo Romero as well. Now, the question then beyond that is there a bigger splash to be made? Because with all due respect to all those players, and they'll get you a nice return, but they're not going to get you a franchise-altering return. If all of a sudden a Brendan Donovan or a Mason Wynn or somebody like that is out there and they work out a deal for them, then at that point maybe you get a much larger return that can have a bigger impact long-term on the organization. But that's kind of a whole other conversation. In all likelihood, those relief pitchers that I mentioned are the ones most likely to be traded.
Have you guys talked to... Well, I don't know if you would talk to Olimar Mall about this, but as you look at the trade deadline, John Mozeliak still in his position and Chaim Bloom taking over next year, how does that work with trade deadline decisions being made for a team that won't be Mo's next year?
Yeah, I think Mo's talked about this, that at some point in time, organically, these decisions were going to become more Himes' decisions than his decisions. So I think if the Cardinals were adding to the roster for this year to be competitive, the loudest voice in the room was going to be Mo's voice. Now, Chaim was going to have a voice there because you're trading away players that could be part of the organization moving forward. So I'm sure they would want Himes' thoughts on that. When it comes to really selling at the deadline and getting players for the future, I think at this point, Himes' voice is going to be the biggest voice in the room. I saw him at the ballpark on Friday, so he is in town. I assume he's going to be, you know, a part of all these conversations. And again, kind of like Mo said, just organically as the season went along, it was going to get to a point where Himes' voice was the larger voice, and I think that's the case for anything involving 2026 and beyond.
So the Cardinals end up splitting this series with the Padres, and they are 3.5 games back of the Padres for that, you know, the final wild card spot. Let's say they do make all these deals, you know, let's say they trade a couple more guys and they do come out of the bullpen or wherever. So they're depleting the roster a bit. How competitive can they be? I mean, is there still an outside chance? I guess there's an outside chance of anything, but how likely is it, in your opinion, that they could still maybe make it interesting in September?
Yeah, you know, like we saw last year with Detroit, they sold at the deadline and then they ended up making a run and getting into the playoffs. Now, Detroit has more high-end talent than the Cardinals do, so it's certainly not an apples-to-apples comparison by any stretch of the mind. But the Cardinals haven't played great baseball this year. They've played good baseball, but they haven't played great baseball. They are one game over 500. They're 9 games back in the Central Division. So they've been a good team, not a great team this year. You're going to get worse, right? If Ryan Helsley isn't on the roster anymore, the ninth inning becomes more of a question. If Phil Maton's not around anymore, think about how valuable he's been. You're not going to be as good. So I'm not trying to like run away from the fact that you're not going to be as good, but especially from a pitching standpoint, when we see what like the Matt Swansons and the Riley O'Briens and the Andre Granillos of the world have been able to do, I would be excited to see those guys be given larger opportunities. Now, there's going to be some losses that would have been wins if you would have had all those guys available. But at the same time, if the Cardinals are competitive right now, I feel like they can continue to be competitive even without those guys around, because I would be excited to see what certain individuals in more high-profile roles would be able to do.
So what, in your opinion, Matt, is the most important thing that can happen for the Cardinals in the final 2 months of this season?
Young guys perform at like a Jordan Walker continue to do what he's been doing over the last week or so. Those relief pitchers that I mentioned going into larger roles and finding success with them. So all of a sudden you feel really comfortable about them being high leverage guys next year. It's all about those younger guys either performing in bigger roles or finding consistency.
Matt Pauly, we appreciate it as always. We will be listening to Redbird Rush Hour. And, well, I guess tonight, what, 50-minute Redbird Rush Hour before the pregame show?
Yeah, almost a whole show. Yeah, almost a whole show.
So you'll have that tonight with Kevin Wheeler, then the 5:50 pregame, 6:45 first pitch, Cardinals and the Marlins will get their series started. So, and I know you'll be covering trade deadline Redbird Rush Hour for this week coming up. And then on Thursday, that will be a deadline recap, because the the time is 5 o'clock. That's when the deadline ends. So I know you and Kevin will be talking about all the trades that happen. So thank you.
Yeah, we'll have coverage all day long on Thursday, keeping folks, you know, if anything happens.
Yeah, updates throughout the day, of course.
Yep.
Thank you, Matt.
You bet.
Yo, Paulie, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Also, we have Gas House Gang today. It's Tom Ackerman and me. John Rooney joins the show at 12:30. So Ackerman and I will have our reaction to the Fetty deal and what might be next for the Cardinals.
Tom Ackerman?
Tom Ackerman. You heard of him?
Love that guy.
Yeah. Ackerman. What's the matter with you?
I don't know what happened. It just, I said it that way and now he sounds like a superhero.
Listen, there's a, you can do a really generous thing for the United States government.
Oh, 100 acts of kindness?
Kind of. Oh. 100 acts of kindness. Brought to you by Jerry Kelly. You can help him pay down the debt. You want to hear how?
The government?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about that when we come back on KMOX. I did not know this until recently, Amy, but apparently the Treasury Department for years.
Since 1996.
Since 1996.
Billiam Clinton was president.
We had a surplus back then, right? The Treasury Department has for a long time accepted charitable gifts to pay down our national debt. Did you know this?
Absolutely did not.
I did not until recently. So, just so you know, if you are concerned about the national debt.
Who isn't?
A lot of people are. A lot of people say they are, but then they end up not being. It happens all the time. People worried about debts, worried about the deficit, or at least they tell you they are.
How many people use debt and deficit interchangeably?
Yeah. Usually this is only a conversation when the other party is in power. Then it's a real problem for the opposite party. At any rate, you can now, and this is very good news, Amy, you can help pay down the national debt with Venmo.
That's awesome because I hated writing those paper checks every time I made a donation.
Yes. So if you go to pay.gov, you...
Which I did.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Did you make your donation?
I didn't. You know, I just couldn't. I couldn't pull the trigger. It felt wrong since I already pay taxes.
Uh-huh. Doesn't that feel like that's what that should be?
How is this not a joke?
I don't know. I'm a little surprised that this is part of the conversation. Maybe, yeah. And I don't recall 1996, the conversation about this. I know that we were talking about a surplus back in those days. So
we talked about the debt a lot in 96, which is maybe why it came up. Because, again, different than the deficit. But 96 was the height of, like, Rush Limbaugh, right?
Yeah.
Talking about the national debt. I remember as a kid, my grandpa talking about the national debt. So maybe, since we weren't talking as much about the deficit as we were the debt, I think someone in the Treasury Department made a joke and didn't expect to be taken seriously.
Maybe this is more about and maybe it was more palatable back then, okay, than it is now. But there's something about almost 30 years later that just feels like a,
Do you know how much how much money has been donated in those 29 years?
Well, I know that they have approximately taken in $120,000 per month in debt payment charitable contributions over the last 5 years.
So in the past 29 years, Americans have donated $67.3 million, which, while generous, does not make a dent in the current $36.7 trillion in debt.
So you know what this says to me? That the vast majority of people, probably 99% of people in the country, look at this idea and go, yeah, absolutely not. I'm not. Because if you're talking about an agency like the Treasury, like the United States government that serves, 340 million people now, that they would, not all of them adults, but if it was something people really wanted to help with, you get a lot more than $120,000 a month.
Well, here's...
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, right. But I guess what bothers me, here's what I hope is not happening, but I have a feeling that older people who really are concerned about the debt, maybe are concerned about their grandkids being burdened, are thinking, I'm going to help pay down the debt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hope it's not older people making bad financial decisions. Maybe they're a little bit more vulnerable.
That's the only thing that would make sense. Because otherwise, I don't know why you'd do it.
Because I could see, you know, a grandparent worried about their grandkids and the country being burdened by this debt, and will the economy collapse, and so they're donating money. That makes me sad. I hope that's not what's happening. But
that's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. It is almost 11 o'clock, and it is Monday, which means we're going to talk to Chris Saliza. We will have our weekly political commentator, host of the daily newsletter So What, and independent news creator. He joins the show next on 104.1 FM KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.